The title of today's sermon is Day of Atonement Ritual. I would venture to say that everyone here is aware that we are now in the festival season. Last Thursday, we observed the Feast of Trumpets, picturing the return of Christ. I'm sure that you will all agree with me that the sooner the better, to save us from destroying all life form from planet Earth. Christ knew this. That's the reason why he said he would return ahead of schedule. Next Sabbath will be a double Sabbath. This year, the Day of Atonement falls on October 12th. So, we will have our regular Sabbath service combined with the Day of Atonement, not to mention it's also a day of fasting. For us in the New Testament era, the ritual on the Day of Atonement is fasting as we humble ourselves and draw closer to God. On this day, we are taught or reminded of our reconciliation to God through Christ's sacrifice and forgiveness of our sin. Also, the removal of the primary cause of sin. Under the Old Covenant, Israel also fasted with a holy convocation as commanded. However, the main event was the sacrificial purification and atonement ritual performed by the high priest. The high priest entered the Holy of Holies only on this occasion with blood to atone for his sin and those of the congregation. In our New Testament era, there is no sacrifice of animals as Christ, our Redeemer, was sacrificed once for all. I think I can say for us all that we have always wondered or tried to picture in our mind the step-by-step ritual of this day as performed by the high priest. Well, today, thanks to Barclay's Daily Bible Study Commentary, if you will permit me to use this phrase, we will be going through a play-by-play moment of this solemn ritual. In other words, we will be taking a tour through the atonement ritual as performed by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. The idea of using some slides occurred to me, but I thought that, you know, what we have read and seen in the past should be enough to stimulate our imagination so we can enjoy the tour. It will be less visual and, you know, more imagination, which would help to stimulate, you know, the gray matter. Let us begin by turning to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. We are going to pull out verse 7, as this verse will be the subject for the sermon. Hebrews 9, verse 7. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. This is the only day that the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies behind the veil. Even though it says once a year, by default, without even further thought, my mind assumed that he entered the Holy of Holies once on this day. Did the high priest go behind the veil only once on the Day of Atonement? The scripture says he entered the Holy of Holies once a year. Let us now take a look at Leviticus 16, reading verses 1 through 24, followed by Barclay's commentary, step-by-step ritual of this day. As we go through Leviticus 16, 1 through 24, I will mention some verses to bring to our awareness of how many times the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies on this day. Leviticus 16, 1 through 24, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. Okay, this is referring to Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3, when Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offered profane fire before the Lord. Fire came from the Lord and devoured them. This shows that God expects reverence from us whenever we approach his presence. Verses 8 and 9 warned about drinking intoxicating drink before entering the tabernacle of meeting. This is an indication that alcohol might have been involved. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at simply any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. This is a warning to Aaron about entering the Holy of Holies behind the veil. Verse 3, and this is one of the verses to pay attention to find out how many times he entered the holy place. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. Verse 4. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. Barclay's commentary will give us more detail of this procedure. Verse 5. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Okay, verse 6, you need to pay attention to verse 6 also. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 8. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Okay, pay attention to verse 9. And Aaron shall bring the goats on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. You know, you might be surprised how this verse is interpreted by some. We'll get there in a little bit. Okay, pay attention to verse 11 and verse 12. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. Verse 13. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Verse 14, pay attention to this verse also. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Verse 16. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Verse 17, there shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. Verse 18, and he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it, and sanctify it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Verse 22. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Now there are those who believe, let me interject here, there are those who believe that both goats represent Christ. You'll be surprised. They all believe that. One goat was sacrificed to pay the debt of sin. The other, the scapegoat, bore our sins and was led away to be pushed off a cliff or was killed. That's the belief of some. King James Version used the word scapegoat. Strong's number is H5799. Azazel. meaning goat of departure. You can research the word Azazel for yourself to see the connection with Satan, the devil. For more information on the two goats, see our booklet, From Holidays to Holidays, or articles on Life, Hope, and Truth website. Verse 23, then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in the holy place, put on his garments, come out, and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. Now, from Barclay's commentary, let us take a more detailed and colorful step-by-step tour of what we have just read. From Barclay's Daily Bible Study commentary, quote, let us now see what happened. Very early in the morning, the high priest cleansed himself by washing. He donned his gorgeous robes of office, worn only on this day. There were the white linen breeches and the long white undergarment reaching down to his feet, woven in one piece. There was the robe of the ephod. It was dark blue and was a long robe with, at the foot, a fringe of blue, purple and scarlet tassels made in the form of pomegranates, interspersed with an equal number of golden bells. Over the robe he put the ephod itself. The ephod was probably a kind of linen tunic embroidered in scarlet and purple and gold with an elaborate girdle. On his shoulders were two onyx stones. The names of six of the tribes were engraved on one and six on the other. On the tunic was the breastplate, a span square. A span. On it were 12 precious stones with the names of the 12 tribes engraved upon them. So the high priest carried the people up to God on his shoulders and on his heart. You know, the two onyx stones on the shoulders and the breastplate, right in the heart. In the breastplate, there was the Urim and the Thummim, which means light and perfection, Exodus 28:30. What exactly the Urim and the Thummim was is not known. It is known that the high priest consulted it when he wished to know the will of God. It may be that it was a precious diamond inscribed with the consonants YHWH, which are the consonants of Yahweh, HSN 3068 and HSN 3069, the name of God. Here, let me interject, I assume he is talking about the Hebrew strong number for HSN. Continuing. On his head, the high priest put the tall mitre, I believe that's a turban, of fine linen, and on the mitre there was a gold plate bound by a band of blue ribbon, and on the plate were the words, Holiness unto the Lord. It is easy to imagine what a dazzling figure the high priest must have presented on this, his greatest day. The high priest began by doing the things that were done every day. He burnt the morning incense, made the morning sacrifice, and attended to the trimming of the lamps on the seven-branched lampstand. Then came the first part of the special ritual of the day. Still dressed in his gorgeous robes, he sacrificed a bullock and seven lambs and one ram, Numbers 28:29-7. Then he removed his gorgeous robes, cleansed himself again in water, and dressed himself in the simple purity of white linen. Remember now, he can only enter the Holy of Holies in the white linen. There was brought to him a bullock, bought with his own resources. He paid for this himself. He placed his hands on the head of, on his head, and standing there in the full sight of the people, confessed his own sin and the sin of his house. As you know, I'm interjecting here. As you know, the Bible does not record what Aaron actually said. I think Barclay wants us to have an understanding of what the high priest might have said in his confession. He might have used Nehemiah 1:5-7 for guideline. That is, Barclay might have used this. Continuing. Ah, Lord God, I have committed iniquity. I have transgressed. I have sinned, I and my house. O Lord, I entreat thee, cover over, atone for the iniquities, the transgressions, and my sins, which I have committed, transgressed, and sinned before thee. I and my house, even as it is written in the law of Moses. For in that day he will cover over, atone for you to make you clean. From all your transgressions before the Lord, you shall be cleansed. For the moment, the bullock was left before the altar. And then followed one of the unique ceremonies of the Day of Atonement. Two goats were standing by, and beside the goats, an urn with two lots in it. One lot was marked for Jehovah. The other was marked for Azazel, which is the phrase the King James Version translates scapegoat. The lots were drawn and laid one on the head of each goat. A tongue-shaped piece of scarlet was tied to the horn of the scapegoat, and for the moment, the goats were left. Then the high priest turned to the bullock, which was beside the altar, and killed it. Its throat was slit, and the blood caught by a priest in a basin. The basin was kept in motion so that the blood would not coagulate, for soon it was to be used. So that priest, until the high priest took that basin from him, he had to be there keeping that basin in motion so the blood won't be coagulated. Then came the first great moment. The priest took coals from the altar put them in a sensor. Okay, now it's time for you guys to start counting how many times he entered the Holy of Holies. He took incense, put it on a special dish, and then he walked into the Holy of Holies to burn incense in the very presence of God. It was laid down that he must not stay too long, lest he put Israel in terror. The people literally watched with bated breath. Translation, a nervous state. Nervous state. I think Mr. Jackson is rubbing off on me here now. And when he came out from the presence of God alive, there went up a sigh of relief like a gust of wind. Let me interject here again. There is a Jewish myth that a rope was tied around the high priest's ankle as he entered the Holy of Holies. The purpose, to pull him out in case there was some mishap. After some checking, I found that it is exactly what it is, a myth with no credible source. The only source I found was the Jewish Kabbalah, which has to do with Jewish mysticism from the 13th century. The myth is not found in the Bible or the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Apocrypha, which are those spurious gospels, not found in Josephus or Philo, the Talmud, or this is a name for the Talmud, let me try to pronounce it, Midrashim, okay, and not found in the early church fathers' writing also. Okay, continuing. When the high priest came out from the Holy of Holies, he took the basin from basin of the bullock's blood, and that priest must be by now so relieved. You know, he was there all this time, you know, churning the blood around. Went back into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it 7 times up and 7 times down. Then he came out, killed the goat that was marked for Jehovah, and with its blood re-entered the Holy of Holies and sprinkled again. Hope you're keeping track of how many times he entered the Holy of Holies. Then he came out, mingled together the blood of the bullock and the goat, and 7 times sprinkled the horns of the altar of incense and the altar itself. What remained of the blood was laid at the foot of the altar of burnt offering. Thus, the Holy of Holies and the altar were cleansed by the blood from any defilement that might be on them. Then came the most vivid ceremony. The scapegoat was brought forward. The high priest laid his hands on his head on it and confessed his own sin on the sin of the people. And the goat was led forth into the desert, into a land not inhabited, laden with the sins of the people, and there it was killed. There should be an alarm going up in your head right now when he said it was killed. Leviticus 16:22 says the goat was released, not killed. As a matter of fact, let's turn back to Leviticus 16 and we'll read verses 10, 21, and 22. My thought here is that Barclay, like others, believed that this goat represents Christ and all the sins were laid on it and killed. But let's see what the Bible says. Leviticus 16. Okay, we go to verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Okay, let's jump down to verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all the sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. So, I guess this here was Barclay's personal belief. As, you know, some people, you know, they do believe this. So for clarity, we see that the goat was released. Continuing. The priest turned to the slain bullock and the goat and prepared them for sacrifice. Still in his linen garments, he read scripture, Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23, verses 27 through 32, and repeated by heart, Numbers 29, 7 through 11. He then prayed for the priesthood and the people. Once again, he cleansed himself in water and rearrayed himself in his gorgeous robes. He sacrificed first a kid of the goats for the sins of the people. Then he made the normal evening sacrifice. Then he sacrificed the already prepared parts of the bullock and the goat. Then once again, he cleansed himself, took off his robes, and put on the linen, the white linen. And for the fourth and last time, he entered the Holy of Holies to remove the censer of incense, which still burned there. Once again, he cleansed himself in water. Once again, he put on his vivid robes. Then he burnt the evening offering of incense, trimmed the lamps on the golden lampstand. His work was now done. In the evening, he held a feast because he had been in the presence of God and had come out alive. Let me say that the job of the high priest has its own occupational hazard, especially on the Day of Atonement. Such was the ritual of the Day of Atonement, the day designed to cleanse all things and people from sin. End of quote. In closing, brethren, I hope this was helpful to you in picturing the events that took place on the Day of Atonement prior to the sacrifice of Christ for our reconciliation to God. The Day of Atonement pictures us being reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ and the forgiveness of our sin. It also pictures the removal of sin and the removal of the primary cause of sin, Satan the devil and his demons. Pertaining to the two goats, one goat represents Christ, who laid down his life to reconcile us to God from sin. The other represents the removal of sin, the primary cause of sin, Satan and his demons. They will be removed to a place of restraint. It is worth repeating that we observe this day through fasting, humbling ourselves as we draw closer to God. This day and the Passover teach us about the forgiveness of sin and our reconciliation with God through Christ's sacrifice. Because Christ sacrificed once for all, there is no need for the sacrifice of animals anymore on the Day of Atonement. Next Sabbath, the 12th of October, we will be observing the Day of Atonement. We will be going through the New Testament ritual of fasting and humbling ourselves before God. May we not forget the process or ritual of entering the Holy of Holies by the high priest once year by year. On the other hand, now, let us look to our permanent high priest who entered the Holy of Holies with his own blood once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Pleasant Sabbath to all.